It's 10:35 Newfoundland Standard Time. Stay tuned for The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine, with Paul Moth. You are listening to the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 520 on the long wave. This week on The Great Eastern.
Bill Murphy, come out with your hands over your head.
People smell. I'm smelling you now. Stale cigarette smoke.
They're green, they're groovy, they're growing.
And they're marching straight into the Sudetenland.
Oh, Richard.
Whoa!
Comes right up at you, doesn't it?
It sure does. Hello, Newfoundland. And for the first time this week, bonjour, Canada, hello. And welcome to The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine. I'm Paul Moth. Today, another expedition to the BCN archives. A review of Newfoundland letters on Wordworks. A trouting odyssey. Our prickly panel on political culture. And the New Forms Festival that winds up in St. John's this weekend. All for you on The Great Eastern. Busy week. I'm cultured right out. There was a time not long ago when you knew what culture meant. I mean, when I was a kid here in St. John's, imported has-been Brits always made the cultural determination. If it didn't hurt, it wasn't true culture. And then there was the so-called cultural renaissance, after which all manner of native squawking and scratching was somehow significant. And now the definition has grown even hazier still. Culture is on the streets. It's in the air. It's as likely to be sampled as painted, as likely to be virtual as real. The past 10 days, St. John's has played host to experimental artists from Bonavista to Belarus. It was incredible to see them gather for a free-form frolic in a dozen different downtown St. John's venues. I witnessed an eager member of the St. Pat's Dancers tap out a delightful tattoo on the head of a Japanese skull singer, and I thought, what is Newfoundland culture now? Really, what is it? On Thursday, noted folklorist Dr. Rose Vyesberg was giving a lecture at the university on that very issue. In question period, I put it to her.
I guess what I mean to say is that people are always insisting, for instance, that this is such and such, whereas that isn't. You see that kind of thing happen around here all the time.
I know what you're getting at, but I think it all gets back to the issue of cultural singularity as a self-conscious node of world culture. But world culture interpreted and represented within and by that very cultural singularity. Does that answer your question?
I'm here on Duckworth Street outside the historic home of the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland and St. John's. And with me is my boss, the director of radio, Ish Lundrigan.
Hello, Paul.
Folks, Ish hosts our regular In the Vault feature, where we take a walk through the archives and listen to some of the great radio that's been produced at BCN over the years.
Paul, this is the first time that the Great Eastern's great signal has traveled beyond the borders of Newfoundland. So as director of radio, I formally welcome non-Newfoundland listeners to the BCN. And this building here, this beautiful building that we work in, was built by the late St. John's architect Sidney Green. It's escaped demolition orders on no fewer than 3 occasions. It's protected today by the Cultural Imperatives Initiative of the provincial government.
It used to be an abattoir, didn't it, Ish?
The walls were built thick so as to contain the bellowing of the animals as they were led to slaughter. It was perfect for broadcasting and recording studios.
And the Lundrigan name has a long connection with the BCN, doesn't it?
Yes. My father used to run the abattoir before he started here as station manager when BCN first went to air in September of 1932. It was a private station in the beginning. Most people forget that. We got taken on by the commission government as the broadcaster of record in 1934.
When did you get your first job here, Ish?
That was in June 1947. Just a small job, office boy, and so on.
And you've never looked back. You've done it all here at the BCN, Ish. And now in the twilight of your fabulous career, you're a steady commander for all of us.
Anyway, welcome to the Great Eastern from the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland.
And now, watch your step. Let's head to the vault with Ish Lundrigan.
It's a dusty, musty, dark kind of a place down here, bursting at the seams with the collective radio treasures and ghosts of over 50 years of public broadcasting in Newfoundland. The golden age of radio, they say, ish?
Nonsense.
What? No golden age?
People had nothing else to do, Paul. Nothing at all. Especially if you were some poor, illiterate wretch trying to drag a living from a half-frozen ocean. What were you going to do? Aerobics? No, boy. Better to keg off in front of the crystal set in a half-stupor, stare at the ceiling, and get transported off to some wonderful land, escaping from your poor, miserable life. That was radio.
And that's what In the Vault is all about. What have you got for us today?
Well, I thought today we might listen to the legendary 1939 recording of the city council meeting where the city of St. John's unconditionally surrendered to the Germans.
Well, that's a bit weighty, isn't it, Ish? I mean, I was hoping we could listen to one of the old serials that were produced right here in storied Studio C.
Well, serials were very popular, weren't they? Everybody listened to them.
What was the old kids' program, the one with the sea captain?
Oh, yes, I know the one you're talking about, with Captain Lloyd Duncan.
Yeah, he had a...
He had a pig leg. Right. A real one, yes, and he was a real captain, too.
There's some story about an incident at sea, wasn't there?
I never believed that. No, you know, he was just sick all the time. Seasick all the time.
My dad loved that show. I'd love to hear some of that one.
Well, I'll see if I can find the tape.
What was the name of the program?
Salty Tales.
Right, of course, but everyone called it...
Dildo Man, yeah. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Now, look. Oh, episode 146, Salty Tales.
Right. Episode 146, Salty Tales, Incident at Ugubamba.
I had a couple of small roles in Salty Tales, you know. I played several of the villains in the captain's stories. The kids loved this show.
Sailed out of Dildo,
a mighty sailor true,
Captain Lloyd Duncan,
a friend to me and you. Salty Tales, Salty Tales,
Salty Tales with Captain Lloyd Duncan, brought to you by Doyle's, makers of Doyle's ointments and powders.
Years ago, I shipped out of Jamaica with a load of hemp and rum and sailed to the west coast of deepest, darkest Africa, where I saw a man eat the living brains out of the head of another man. Gather round the radio, children, and I'll tell ye a story about cannibalism and how I lost this dear old leg of mine.
I remember this one.
Now,
I remember this one.
Oh, you
God,
know what cannibalism is, do ye, children? It's when a man eats another man. Hearts of another man. Now, don't be afraid. Come up close to the captain. The dildo man won't let any harm come to
you. Yeah, this show went right off the air at the peak of its popularity. What was the story behind that?
Well, what happened was this. Where Lloyd Duncan was a whaler, he naturally shipped out a dildo in Trinity Bay. And as it was at the time, you called such a person a dildo man, much as you might call someone from Placentia Bay a Placentia Bayman. You know, after Confederation, our role here was redefined. We fell under the jurisdiction of the Canadian regulators, who summoned me in one day. They actually summoned me. I was producing a show by then, see, and anyway, they were worried about other connotations that dildo man might have. And I, of course, the naive lad from Casey Street, asking, oh, what connotations? That was the end of that. It ruined Lloyd Duncan, ruined a man. He hit the battle heavily, and you see him in the streets today. A broken man. Dildo man. Well, anyway, enough of that now. Time to close up the old vault. Got to go sign a few requisition orders, or pink slips or something.
Well, thanks, Ish, and we'll see you next week.
In the vault.
BCN, All Newfoundland Radio.
Well,
that familiar music can only mean one thing. It's time for Wordworks, a review of current literary goings-on, and I'm thrilled as ever to have with me popular author and critic Kathleen Hanrahan. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Paul. Good to be back.
Yes, sir. You were on tour in Conception Bay with the Bowater Bookmobile.
Yes, unfortunately, we never did get to finish that tour. The bookmobile got stolen this side of Goobies.
You're kidding.
No, we stopped to get a bite to eat at one of those Irving stations. Mm-hmm. We came out, it was gone.
That's outrageous. What would anyone in Goobies want with a bunch of books?
Well, at least I got back in time for the big stir over the John Cabot book.
Right, the memoirs. They're due to be released next month, I believe?
Well, not his memoirs, exactly. I mean, it's actually the eagerly awaited translation of the ship's log, you know, from the Cabot's 1497 voyage to the New World, mm-hmm. when, of course, he discovered Newfoundland.
Right. Now, this document in itself was a kind of a revelation, wasn't it?
Oh, that's right. It was only discovered in 1991 in an attic in Milan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the find created a lot of excitement everywhere, but nowhere, of course, more so than right here, you know, what with all the preparations going on for the, you know, 1997 celebrations.
I'm making preparations, that's for sure.
The provincial government's 500th anniversary commission paid a whopping $4 million to get this translated, you know, to get it published in time to whip up some kind of interest, you know, in the big event.
Well, it may have cost a bundle, but it certainly is a lovely addition.
Isn't it?
I couldn't help thinking, looking at the frontispiece here, that our John Cabot was quite a flashy dresser, wasn't he? So, why the big fuss about this, Catherine?
Well, you know, it turns out that Cabot didn't have anything much good to say about anything to do with the Great Voyage of Discovery. I mean, the log, you know, it's virtually nonstop griping.
About what?
Well, you name it. I mean, they were beset by freak storms, icebergs, an unusual infestation of the ship's stores by flying fish, the mysterious suicide of the lookout. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on.
What a drag.
Well, the real drag, I mean, for the anniversary commission anyway, comes on page 114, and it's quite a bomb, I gotta tell you, Paul. You ready for this?
Oh, drum roll.
Okay. This is page 114.
Okay.
Would that this terra infirma had remained a terra incognita. The churning of these black seas and the sour wind off the land torments my crew. 3 men of 7 return from the desperate island, their faces a witch's mask of hideous boils. When the ship's doctor did lance these boobs, there was an issue of lively yellow maggots. The crew believe we are in the very kingdom of the Antichrist. I am stricken with a fear that my sad discovery shall be a black legacy hanging from my name.
Wow. That's it? Things didn't take a turn for the better?
No, well, that's basically it. I mean, that's really the only mention of Newfoundland in the entire volume.
Well, what a disappointment. But, I mean, he still discovered Newfoundland, no matter how much he wished he hadn't, right? We still get to celebrate it, don't we?
Well, I guess so. I mean, there's a couple of lawsuits in the works. The commission now insists that the log is a forgery. Mm. I mean, they've sued the Italian media consortium that sold it to him, and release of the book has been postponed indefinitely. And now a group right here of academics, I mean, they're complaining that the commission is engaged in some sort of cover-up.
What a mess. It really kind of casts a black cloud over the whole anniversary, eh? What do you make of it all, the noise?
Well, I think that the log's authentic. Mm. I mean, all these explorers were hardened mercenaries, you know, in search of glory and treasure.
Mm.
They got what they deserved. Mm. I think the book should serve as a classic cautionary tale, an emblem of the fact that 1997 is an anniversary of violation and not one of discovery.
Mm. I see what you mean, but I don't know. They took Columbus to the cleaners there a couple of years ago, and now this about Cabot. I was really looking forward to a celebration. Parades, tall ships sailing through the harbor and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Some sort of positive affirmation that, damn it, we're here despite it all. I don't know. Nothing's simple anymore, is it?
Well, our list of new releases is simple.
Oh, well, great. Let's turn to the new titles from local authors.
First we have No Fish Cookbook.
Oh, that's very timely.
This is put together by some graduate students at the Food Sciences Department at the university
with
the help of a DFO summer grant.
Mm-hmm.
It's really imaginative, and some of these recipes are really quite delightful.
So you've actually tried some of these?
Well, the mushrooms and brews left me, you know, a bit cold, but the tofu and chips is a real winner, I think.
Well, it almost looks like a real fish in this picture.
Now, Paul, I know you don't like to plug your own material, but any book watcher in this province is going to want to know about The Rocky Road to Recovery by our own Paul Moth.
Well,
come on now. I don't want to embarrass you, Paul, but, you know, personally, I think it's a fabulous self-help book, and I think it's going to give, you know, a lot of people some hope.
You're so kind.
I understand you're going to be doing a speaking tour lined up in conjunction with the release of the book?
Yes, I'm going to be in Gander on Wednesday night at the Gander Collegiate Auditorium, if anyone out there is interested.
Well, that's great. Know what you're going to be talking about?
No, I don't know. Gander's kind of a prescription drug town, and I'll probably talk about my problems with Halcyon.
Great idea. Now, look, finally, I've got to mention the controversial monkey business.
Yes, parents were complaining that this pop-up book might be too mature, I guess, for young readers.
Well, I've brought you a copy.
Oh, good. I haven't had a chance yet to. Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Very mature indeed, but very well made. It's got a great popping up effect.
This is really not for kids,
no,
okay?
No.
It's an adult book using the form.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought this should have been made more clear in the advance publicity. I mean, you can see it's fun, and I mean, kids might be intrigued, you know, if they see it lying around.
But I'd be intrigued. Wow, just look at this. My goodness, this really is amazing. Whoa!
Comes right up at you, doesn't it?
It sure does. Well, Kathleen Hanahan, always a pleasure to have you in with WordWorks. We'll expect you back again next week.
Okay,
thanks for popping by, and we'll see you at the same time then.
Okay, Paul.
Well, I sure hope that bookmobile turns up. We turn now from literature in Newfoundland to music in Newfoundland. And here's Fairyland native Ron Hines, a big winner at this year's East Coast Music Awards, with a song from his Crier's Paradise release. It's called No Kathleen.
No Kathleen, don't go walking down that road. Don't take the hand that reaches. Don't believe the eyes that turn to greet you. Can't you see what was made so plain to me? All the years just go for nothing, and nothing in between. No Kathleen, no Kathleen. Don't go, Kathleen. You can make it sight unseen. All the words they whisper to you aren't exactly what they mean. You can only lose on this beaten path you choose. Though you might escape, you lie awake and ask what might have been. No, Kathleen. Don't go, Kathleen. Look at these lines upon my face, and this trembling in my hands. I'm just a shadow in this place, where there is no escaping. No, Kathleen, don't go walking down that road, because the place where you start out is as far as you can go. And the pain doesn't pass, and the promises don't last. And the day comes when you smash the looking glass to smithereens. No, Kathleen. No, Kathleen. Look at these lines upon my face, and this trembling in my hands. I'm just a shadow in this place, where there is no escaping. No, Kathleen, don't go walking down that road. Don't take the hand that reaches. Don't believe the eyes that turn to greet you. Can't you see what was made so plain to me? All the years just go for nothing, and nothing in between. No, Kathleen, don't go, Kathleen. No, Kathleen. No, Kathleen.
Serving the island for over 60 years, BCN, the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland.
This afternoon on the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, at 1 o'clock on Playlets, it's Episode 6 of Donkey, Sheep, and a Hideaway. This week, Nettie's in trouble when Bill Gallant decides to call in the Rangers. At 2 o'clock, Interred, with Morris Jesso. At 2:15, Jock and Jill offers a look at sport in Newfoundland. the scores, the stories, and the odds. Today, drunk testing comes to the St. John's Regatta and a new breed of curler. Hubie Hendricks visits champion skip Leo Bursey in his hyperbaric chamber. At 2:30, look, it's Labrador with your host, Pander Pierre Abramé. At 3 o'clock, tune in for The Whistler when Benjamin Humphrey whistles your requests. Today, light comic opera favorites. At 5 o'clock, it's the news with me, Florence Robbins. A full afternoon of entertainment and information on BCN, All Newfoundland Radio.
Now it's time for our weekly contest, What's That Noise from Newfoundland? And this is the third straight week that this noise has gone unidentified. Let's play it, shall we, Tom? There it is, the mystery sound. Now I'll just reach down into the mailbag and draw this week's entry at random. And let's see, the postmark is Plum Point on the Great Northern Peninsula, and the entry is from Susanna Lodge. And Susanna writes, I listen to your show every week, Paul, and enjoy it very much. Thanks, Susanna. We enjoy bringing it to you. I think the noise from Newfoundland is the Port of Basque North Sydney ferry ramming the wharf as it docks. And it's signed Susanna Lodge from Plum Point. No, Susanna, sorry, creative response, but incorrect. We still don't have a winner. If you think you know what that noise from Newfoundland is, write us at the Great Eastern, 342 Dockwood Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C1H5. And please, mail. No fax. Our requisition hasn't gone through yet. And now, of course, our entries from across Canada are welcome and encouraged. And a correct answer will land you a grand prize from the boutique of BCN merchandise. Let's hear it one more time. What's this noise from Newfoundland? Think you know? Write us.
The Great Eastern, great radio, coast to coast in Newfoundland, on the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, BCN, 520 on the long wave.
I was away from Newfoundland for the best part of the 80s, lured by the glitz and glamour of New York and L.A., but I came back, to the innocent pleasures of Terra Nova. Clean, salt-scented air, spruce trees reaching through the mist off a favorite pond and a few flicks of the rod, snaring rabbits. You'll understand what a thrill I had then when I got a call from a couple of my oldest high school buddies, Billy Murphy and Jer Cadigan, guys I haven't seen since graduation. A trouting expedition, they said, called back to the mythical fishing hole of our youth. I found my old kit bag still there, right where I dropped it as a teenager those many years ago. And I threw in a few things I thought I'd need, and I took along my tape recorder. This is my audio diary of that journey. This is Skin Cabin Pond, a trouter's soundscape.
What is it? Both axles are snapped. Be consumed by the mud by nightfall.
Jesus, now I'm ever going to be pissed.
Well, is this your mother's car?
Bill, what would I do with a car? I don't have a license, remember?
Well, I say we go on to the cabin. You know someone's going to be through here by the weekend.
Genius, dear.
Is it correct, sir?
I got my stuff. Okay?
Well?
Take care of yourself, okay?
Oh, jeez, boys. We used to come up to this cabin all the time when we were teenagers. When was the last time you were here?
Years ago.
Why is that?
Because we haven't got the time.
I'm doing time.
Oh, sure that's just fantastic. That's just great.
This cabin's been burnt to the ground. It's ashes.
Oh, shut up, Paul, for God's sake.
Wilf said he'd burn it down, but I never took him seriously.
You never took him seriously.
Talk about crooked.
You did time. For what, Bill?
For manslaughter.
Which man did you slaughter?
You remember Charlie Doyle?
You killed Chuck Doyle?
Yes, I killed Chuck Doyle.
Settle down, Bill.
Oh, make me dare you.
But Chuck was so harmless. What'd you kill him for?
Because he was pissing me off, okay? Anyway, my thinking was really confused at the time. I think it's a medical problem.
Anybody bring like a pup tent or something? A tarp?
All I got is some liquor. And a gun.
It's great lean-to, Bill. Always well handy with an axe. Doesn't look like much, but should keep out the odds.
Like ducks.
Oh, jeez, we're really having fun now, eh? Are we having a great time? I swung right off of me. I could climb myself to the knees. Jesus, I'm so angry!
Bill, relax, man. You did a great job with the lean-to. Take a little break.
You take a break! There are no breaks.
Judas Priest!
Bill, come back!
Let him go. Let him alone, Paul. Let him go. God, I haven't seen him this mad in a long time. And now I'm diagnosed with a bipolar personality disorder. And I swear this prescription medicine's got me more messed up than the booze. Did I tell you her brother's a divorce lawyer? She's gonna get it all. She can have the goddamn kids. They're probably not even mine anyway, but she wants to dust her too.
Well, you still got the duster, huh? This is the life, Gerald. Reminiscing around the campfire. Well, Bill is off shooting some more firewood.
Test, 1, 2. Okay, this is a skin cabin pond, day 2.
Mohawk, you're after taping over the Zap!
I didn't mean it, Bill.
That tune meant a lot to me.
It was an accident. I'm doing this diary thing for the show.
Never mind. Paul, go get some fish for God's sake. I'm starving.
Great idea. I see if the old technique is still there.
Yeah, let's hope it is.
Let's see. White wolf? No, I'll go with a wet fly. Black gnat? Jock scout?
Jerry, what do you got on there?
Purple dog nobbler.
Jerry knows his flies. There you go. The perfect thing. The purple gobnobbler. It's easy to see why fly fishing is so fashionable these days.
Jerry.
Food is getting short.
You're a food boy, Paul. You're the one that should be worried about it. So just shut up, okay?
You could try and walk out.
Except for the freezing rain.
Does an old man winter always throw a curve at Newfoundland in July?
How's the air, Paul?
Fine, but the pinky is black now. I think that's going to have to be removed.
Give it over here. I'll cut it off for you.
Listen. It's a truck.
Yes.
Ha ha! Now, that's more like it.
Just in time. Over here.
Bill Murphy. Come out. Your hands over your head.
All right, boys. Who's going to be the hostage?
Ah, we had a great time. We didn't catch any fish, but trouting is about more than catching fish. Bill? Well, it turned out to be just a minor parole violation. And guess what? Jerry's gonna get to keep the duster after all. My little finger's all right, a little numb, but I got a feeling it's gonna be fine. Trouting in Newfoundland.
You're listening to The Great Eastern on the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland with your host, Paul Moth.
Now from the gritty little post-industrial town of Long Harbor, here's Dead Reckoning with So Proud.
Let the light shine over our heads. Yes, it will.
Among the more unusual summer attractions for visitors here in St. John's is the New Forms Festival, a 10-day gathering of artists from around the world. And even as I speak, there are events going on all over town. I'm in the busy festival headquarters down by the waterfront, and I'm pleased to welcome to the Great Eastern the person most responsible for bringing us this wonderful event, artistic organizer Breanne Buckle.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for coming down.
Breanne, tell me a little bit about this event.
Well, the New Forms Festival presents artists working in little-used media.
Mm-hmm.
They come here to exhibit and to share ideas and concepts and forms,
mm-hmm.
hopefully cross-fertilize in a kind of post-disciplinary fashion.
What about the local input? Is there any of that?
Significant, mm-hmm. really significant. Everything from traditional Newfoundland accordion flailing to more cutting-edge stuff like Cy Bishop's experiments with self-inflation out at Logie Bay. And, of course, the support of local volunteers has been just magnificent.
Well, what's coming up that you, Breanne Buckle, New Forms Fondler, would highly recommend to a neophyte like myself who knows nothing about most of the art that's going on here?
Well, how about dairy sculpture?
Sounds like me.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow, Pam Zorn from Tulsa will be doing a cheese and butter workshop for kids.
Wow.
Take it in. There's a lot of excitement and, of course, some controversy as well, especially surrounding Ned Brocklehurst's Need Me. But, I mean, there's stuff for everyone. It's really hard to single anything out.
Wow, a really international feel to everything. I can't wait to see Ned Brocklehurst's piece. Breanne Buckle, our artistic director for the New Forms Festival, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to chat with us.
It's been a pleasure, Paul.
Oh, and good luck with the rest of the festival.
Thanks. Great to see you down here.
Of all the new forms I've seen and heard and felt while wandering around the festival site, I think that the most intriguing has to be the work of Eckhart Wunderich, an olfactory artist from Alsace. His installation, or inhalation, consists of a dozen or so pedestals draped in black fabric, and on top of each of these are deep glass bowls. The show is called Schnuffeln das Freund, and to translate that for us, I'm joined now by the artist in question. Eckhart Wunderich, welcome to the Great Eastern.
Hello, Paul. Someone said this was
Eckhart, perhaps you could give our listeners a general idea of what olfactory art is.
Well, it's so many things. I think all creative smelling and all smelly creation, really.
Are you a part of an olfactory school, or are there others working in this field?
Well, I was a member of the Freikunstladen in Hamburg from 1986 to 1989, and that's where I began to explore. And then I began creating smells more seriously in Berlin And first with a group, the Gestank Gang, and then solo.
So you really are a pioneer then?
Yeah, but, well, you know, you could say that we are all in a way olfactory artists. Smells we remember, smells of childhood, of love, lover's perfume, fresh bed sheets, the smells of love, yeah? People talk of the smell of fear.
That's true. I mean, at the moment, for instance, I'm living at my grandmother's house, and boy, the smells there, I'll tell you, they bring me right back. Wood stove, chintz, bread baking, salt beef and cabbage. Yeah. Is this the kind of thing I can expect here at your show?
No, no. My earlier work was like that, but now I'm interested in more complicated memories of kind of dramatic smells, with a story, portraits, I could say.
Olfactory portraits.
Yeah, people smell. I'm smelling you now. Stale cigarette smoke, coffee, a cologne is fading perhaps in your clothes, and egg, I think.
Yeah, egg McMuffin.
Yeah, you are lonely?
Well, let's have a look at, a smell of your work.
Sure.
How about this one, huh?
Yeah, how about that one, eh?
Well, it's, there's leather, musky, not entirely pleasant, and grass, or dirt.
Yeah, this is Freistoff. It's a penalty kick in the soccer.
Yeah.
So, you see, you were there almost. You got some of the more obvious bouquets, the boots, the sweaty shirts, the peach, and... These anybody could get at the first time, but if you concentrate a bit more, you detect the smell of victory or defeat, nerves, anticipation has an aroma also.
It's amazing. It's almost like being on the pitch. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. Yeah. And what's this one? Oh, it's stifling and heavy, wet, or not really wet, but damp. Oppressive, like clay or earth. It smells a bit like the BCN building.
It is called Gesellschaft. I worked in the Staatsregierungsverein, and I was brutalized by the psychic vampires of the state bureaucracy. It drove me to put staples in my tongue.
It must have made quite an impression on you. But is this art just for galleries, Eckert? I mean, you couldn't really hang it on a wall, could you? You could put it in a kitchen, I suppose.
Well, this art is not comfortable art. It's not for the bourgeois home.
Do you sell much of this work?
No, because there is no price on my art.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh, very funny, Paul. Very funny.
It's the Egg McMuffin. Those things just go straight through me.
Yeah, well, I guess that's it, you know. The,
I'm sorry, I couldn't help it.
I don't want to ask anyone questions.
Okay, Eckhard Wunderich, it has been wunderbar to meet you. Thanks for letting us nose around here with you and your smells. And have a great rest of the week. Eckhard's work can be experienced at Gallery G of the New Forms Festival Complex in downtown St. John's.
Oh, and also in Winnipeg from 6 to 13 August at the Sixth Sense Festival.
That's right. Eckhart, we never did get the show title. Schnuffeln das Freund?
Approximately, please smell my friend.
And so we did. That wraps up our brief sampling of some of the fine new forms here at the 4th Annual New Forms Festival in St. John's.
Next week, a special documentary feature on The Great Eastern, Vinton Christopher's award-winning documentary, Buying Brains, Inside the Smart Drug Business.
Oh, no, the effects were startling.
And then I became a voracious reader. But at what price?
I could actually feel the improvement in my intellectual capacity.
Human guinea pigs is a loaded term. If we conducted these experiments on rabbits, the animal rights people would firebomb us in a second.
The government is behind this 100%. The Pharmaceutical Research Division of Doyle Labs has brought 300 new jobs to the province. And that's not counting the people who are up there making top dollar as subjects and experiments.
I was a happier woman. Without a doubt, I would prefer to be stupid again. For sure.
Buying Brains, a special next week on The Great Eastern.
And it's time now for our weekly panel on political culture in Newfoundland. And with me in our studio is my favorite columnist, Ariel Flint, also, of course, host of BCN's acclaimed show trial, and pundit, pollster, and all-round backroom boy, J. Richard Kandau. Joining us by phone from Halifax is Carl Johnson, a professor of political economy at the University of Newfoundland at St. John's. Hello, all.
Hello, Paul.
Hello, Paul.
Now, before we get started, congratulations are in order for Carl. I understand, Carl, that you've just been appointed to the prestigious Valmanis Chair in Political Economy here at the UNSJ. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Carl. Thank
you. All right, then. The first order of business is, of course, the shocking results of a poll last week that had the governing Liberals running 12 points behind the upstart National Park Party. How do you explain the success of a party whose only platform is to transform Newfoundland into a national park and the government into a parks administration board?
Now, that poll was...
I guess Richard's eating his words on this issue.
I never thought I'd say this, Ms. Flint, but... You were right, and I was wrong.
Oh, he was wrong. Come on, Richard, eat those words. No.
The appeal of the park is obvious, I suppose. Excellent paving, and the national park would eliminate the provincial government and therefore level of taxation. Everybody would feel warm about themselves, I suppose, being a protected specimen, so you can see why an unemployed bayman might
Richard.
Be... I'm sorry. Underutilized person of Bay. You could see why it might seem like a reasonable alternative to their squalid
lives. But from political obscurity to front runners in a matter of mere weeks, Ariel, that seems incredible to me.
But what do you make of it? Not unprecedented.
I'm a fan. It's a breath of fresh air in a putrid political landscape. Let's face it, the national parks are the only example we have of an efficient administration on this island. Mm-hmm. They're green, they're groovy, they're growing.
And they're marching straight into the Sudetenland.
Oh, Richard, you made the same analogy on show trial a couple of days ago. I just don't see it. This has nothing to do with ideology. You just see a power base eroding.
No, not true. Look, do the park rangers wear brown shirts or don't they?
Oh, please, Richard.
I was in Tirunelveli just last weekend, and the
these
guys, they're
pushy.
There's no democracy inside the park. The ranger's word is the law.
Come on.
Will we all be bag tagged and tracked on our annual migrations? Radio transmitter caller Ariel?
Guilt by association. Alarmist visions of apocalypse. Who's got the fascist leanings here?
Are you now, or have you ever been a national parkist, Ariel? She's a parkist? She's in with him? It must
be
that?
Oh, yes, right. On to the witch hunts. Paul, look, I confess, I have trouble with some of the parkist programs.
I hope so.
They want to M-park the entire island, for instance, the 15-kilometer-per-hour speed limit. I'm also a little concerned that the animalists may have just a bit too much power. But really, Richard, equating the people who work in our national parks with the Nazis, someone's got to defend them.
Okay. Blanket apology to the park rangers, their families and supporters for any offense that may have been blah, 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 blah next issue.
Sounds more like Lebensraum to me, boo-boo.
Okay, on to the arts. Questions are being raised about arts funding again. Should the public be funding work like performance artist Ned Brocklehurst's piece, in which he will chop off one of his fingers and then eat it on stage?
Chop off one of his fingers and then eat it on stage.
That's right.
An outrage. These people aren't artists, they're con artists.
Oh, please. Brocklehurst has a respectable international profile. I have one of his pieces at home. Granted, this particular work may be a little self-indulgent, but it's no reason to call into question the whole principle of arms-length funding.
Exactly.
A little self-indulgent, Ariel. Who's going to pay for the medical costs? You and me, that's who. Come on, these people are taking us for a ride.
Oh, this piece is about arts cuts, Richard. It's a metaphor, a commentary.
Oh, really? A metaphor? Well, I'm sorry. I'm not sophisticated enough to understand the metaphoric dimensions of self-mutilation. I suggest more cutbacks. Then maybe he'll cut off an arm, or maybe eliminate the program. Then maybe he'll lop his head off. I'd probably pay money to see that. We wouldn't need any public funding for the arts then.
In Berlin.
Okay, on to one final topic. We had a tremendous kerfuffle created here earlier this week when a safe sex manual was handed out to high school students around the province without their parents' knowledge. What do you make of that?
Without parents' knowledge. Now, that's the key point here.
I'd like to hear Ariel out on this one first.
Thank you, Paul. You know, it's almost incredible that the ministry had the courage to grab the bull by the horn and confront this issue. It's really long overdue.
I was actually on the
commission. Just look at this. It's an instruction manual. It actually comes with equipment, for God's sake, or at least I think it's equipment. What is this? Could someone tell me what this is, please?
It's a dental dam, Richard.
A what?
Can I see that?
A dental dam.
Well, look, I mean, I've got a young fella in school right now, and do you want to tell me what he's going to do with a dental dam?
Why don't you ask him? Look, you simply can't repress these urges, these desires, once they start making themselves felt.
Maybe so, but I mean, this book here is more like the Kama Sutra, for God's sake. It's a virtual encyclopedia of perversion.
Oh, please, it's healthy, it's honest, and it's empowering.
Oh, and don't give a dental dam about empowerment.
Well, we're running out of time. Maybe we should give the last word to Carl.
Yes,
Carl, can you sum up your position in 15 seconds, do you think?
Well,
you're being empowered, Carl.
Richard.
We all know that adolescent fornication has become a problem.
Fine. Well, always enlightening and vigorous. I want to thank you all. Thank you, Ariel Flint and J. Richard Kandau, with me here in the studio and joining us from Nova Scotia by phone, Carl Johnson. Thank you, and we'll see you all again next week.
Bye, Paul.
Goodbye, Paul.
Come and I will sing you.
What will you sing me?
I will sing you one of.
What will the one be?
One the one is all along, forevermore shall be. So come and I will sing you.
What will you sing me?
I will sing you two of.
What will the two be?
Two of them really white babes, clothed the darling green. And the one that's all along, forevermore shall be. So come and I will sing you.
What will you sing me?
I will sing you three of.
What will the three be?
Three of them were drivers, two of them really white babes, clothed the darling green. And the one that's all along, forevermore shall be. So come and I will sing you.
What will you sing me?
I will sing you four of.
What will the four be?
Four gospel creatures, three of them were drivers, two of them were leeway babes, called the darling bee, and the whole one lived all along, forevermore shall be. So come and I will sing you.
What will you sing me?
I will sing you five of.
What will the five be?
Five of them by Zander Bush, four gospel creatures, three of them were drivers, two of them were leeway babes, called the darling bee, and the whole one lived all along, forevermore shall be. So come and I will sing you.
What will you sing me?
I will sing you six.
What will the six be?
Six for wager, five of them by Zander Bush, four gospel creature, three of them were drivers, two of them were leeway babes, twelve the darling bee, and all one the dull along, forevermore shall be. So come and I will sing you.
What will you sing me?
I will sing you seven of.
What will the seven be?
Seven of them stars under the sky, six for wager, five of them by Zander Bush, four gospel creature, three of them were drivers, two of them were leeway babes, twelve the darling bee, and all one the dull along, forevermore shall be. So come and I will sing you.
What will you sing me?
I will sing you eight of.
What will the eight be?
Eight the Gabriel angel, seven the stars under the sky, six the six ball wager, five the glambas under the bush, four the gospel creature, three of them were drivers, two of them were leeway babes, both the darling bee, and the whole one lived all alone, forevermore shall be. So come and I will sing you.
What will you sing me?
I will sing you nine of.
What will the nine be?
Nine the bright eyed shiners, eight the Gabriel angel, seven the stars under the sky, six the six ball wager, five the glambas under the bush, four the gospel creature, three of them were drivers, two of them were leeway babes, called the darling bee, and the one lived all alone, forevermore shall be. So come and I will sing you.
What will you sing me?
I will sing you ten of.
What will the ten be?
Ten Ten Commandments, nine bright eyed shiners, eight Gabriel angels, seven sun stars under the sky, six the six ball wager, five glambas under the bush, four gospel creature, three of them were drivers, two of them were leeway babes, called the darling bee, and one lived all alone, forevermore shall be. So.
Figgy Duff with their breathtaking Ten Commandments. When I started out in radio, John Cabot had discovered Newfoundland, and everybody knew that. Captain Lloyd Duncan was a radio legend, and Ariel Flint was a lovely young Miss Mount Pearl. You didn't smell art, and you couldn't buy brains. You either had 'em, or you didn't. And that's all changed now. And you know something? I like it this way. Our BCN studios are perched just above the harbor, and I was closing the window last night, wondering what to say in my traditional show-ending editorial, when my mind went blank. All I could do was look out at the barren North Atlantic, trying to formulate some reason for Newfoundlanders to stay in Newfoundland. What could possibly keep us here? Well, on a beautiful day, there is no more inspiring sight than the sun going down on the water somewhere off the coast of Newfoundland. But is that enough? A weekend in the woods, fire crackling nightly, drinks, cards, a few trout or salmon in your creel. But is that enough? At the end of the road that squirms through the community, the graveyard where parents and grandparents and great-grandparents lie. Is that enough? What keeps us here? Love? Fear? Are we afraid of the world that arrived here in the 50s? Can we not fathom life away from Newfoundland? Why do we stay here? What with the poverty, the fishery in a shambles, epidemic unemployment, no industry, and a shrinking population. In the long run, what keeps us here? Nothing. And I love it that way. The zen of staying in Newfoundland. No reason to. So let's. I want to thank our Canadian audience for listening today. Feel free to write us with your comments, questions, and answers. Our address is the Great Eastern, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C2H5. Or phone us and leave a message at area code 709-576-5240. Thanks to the CBC for carrying the BCN signal. Who says the state has no business in the bedrooms of the nation? Technical operations on today's show were by Tom Codner. Our director of radio is Ish Lundrigan, and we leave you with the Plankerdown Band. I'm Paul Moth, hoping you'll join us again next week on the Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine.
On the long wave. You are listening to the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, BCN.
It's coming up to the half hour here on the BCN. I'm Florence Robbins. Help erect the tower. The BCN Tower Fund is almost at the halfway mark. Take us over the top. Participate in the Tower Fund bottle drive. Bottles will be collected in the parking lot of the BCN building on Duckworth Street this afternoon between 2 and 5. A reminder that next Saturday is open house here at the BCN. Come and experience the wonderful world of radio broadcasting. Share a snack and a refreshment with your favorite BCN personalities. Our BCN lecture series, Botanical Marvels of Newfoundland, continues every Tuesday. This week, Commodore Davis Andrew speaks on the pitcher plant, Newfoundland emblem and carnivorous anomaly, bogland beauty and beast. Stay tuned now for spiritual programming with Saints Alive. This week, Philomena of Assisi, the former patron saint of radio and television. Then it's Picnic Basket, summertime music with Irving Norman.